Christmas is celebrated by many people all around the world. Usually it means spending time with family and friends, having good food and good music, and exchanging gifts. However, this is not the case for everybody. There are people that don't spend time with family or friends, either because they don't have any or because there are issues. And so, these people could be among the people that have lost interest in Christmas. Because over time, the meaning of Christmas has been so commercialized that its true meaning has been lost. The meaning of Christmas is the birth of the Christ in individual consciousness. In the Bible, we are told, "In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him." That is what Christmas is all about. History tells us that the majority of people who lived in Jesus' time were not ready to receive the Christ, for they rejected him. This tells us that they were at a state of mind, a state of consciousness, that had lost its awareness of their union with God. The Bible calls this time gross darkness. They could not see nor hear the divine within themselves. But God so loved us that he sent one who was to become fully aware of his divine indwelling. And so it came to pass that Jesus, in union with the Father, became the Word made flesh. In John 1:14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." At the time of Jesus' birth, there were power struggles where one leader was pushing out another leader. People would get what they wanted through sheer willpower. Worship had been reduced to exercises of ritual and ceremony. The poor and oppressed felt it was hopeless to seek freedom. They did not have the understanding of a God of love who is always with them and is always everywhere. In the very few good moments that they had, they believed that God was a very present help to them. However, they did not have the full realization of the omnipresence and the power of his divine indwelling. Seems like times have not changed much with all the economic problems that many are still experiencing, continued war between the two political parties in this country, and the violence all over the world. It seems that there is little hope for anything, even for God. Their only hope for those at Jesus' time was the hope that the coming Messiah, who had been prophesied through the Old Testament, beginning with Genesis, with a generalized promise to Abraham that from his seed should all families of the world be blessed. In Psalm 22, not only was the rejection of a Messiah prophesied, but his death was also. And then in Isaiah, who prophesied in chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, we are told, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Now, there are many different beliefs as to the purpose of Jesus, who he really was and the power that he had. There were those that believed that Jesus' role was to eliminate evil, to get rid of the bad and corrupted kings, as well as those from the religious community. Then there are those who believe that Jesus was really God. And as God, he could do anything that he wanted. He could end poverty, stop the violence, make people wealthy, and sick people whole. Then there are those that believe he was the only Son of God with all the powers given to him by his Father. When he was born, he was seen as the Savior who would be king, a great king, eliminating all the other kings. As you can imagine, because of all of these beliefs, when Jesus was born, there were those such as King Herod, religious leaders and others who saw the baby Jesus as a big threat. Then there were those who believed there was no Jesus and there is no Christ. They believe being good will get them to heaven. To this day, there are educated people, hardworking people, people who care about others, the environment, and are doing their best to do the right thing, that believe that when they make the transition, that they will go straight to heaven. After all, they are good people. Then there are those who are waiting for a savior. They want to know God through someone else's consciousness because they believe that by themselves they cannot know God. These beliefs haven't changed much. Still worldwide, such beliefs dominate the consciousness of millions of people. There are people who believe that Jesus will return for the second coming. And there are those who go to a church or a synagogue, a mosque, hoping a spiritual leader will wipe out their problems and get them a better life. Jesus faced all such personalities. He worked with the disciples for a period of 3 years. While most of the disciples were able to grasp an intellectual understanding of truth, only a few of the disciples continued in varying degrees the work that Jesus did. The majority of the disciples were very attached to Jesus' consciousness and did little to develop their own. When Jesus was gone, they returned to their former lives or one similar to it. We also have those who seek something beyond where they are, something spiritual, but only a few become dedicated to the spiritual work of truth and principle. We must understand that we do not have light of our own. We have the conscious realization of the God principle. We can of our own self do nothing. It is the Father within who doeth the works. We must remember that what was available to the disciples is also available to all of us. But first, we must come from out of the masses. Have you ever analyzed how you handle problems or challenges? Did you know that challenges are opportunities for spiritual growth? We must confidently stand on God's principle and truth. The external world tells us that there are many ways to handle challenges. Jesus told us that there was only one way, the Christ way. No healing is come unto until the Christ is risen in consciousness. As we progress on our spiritual unfoldment process, we do eventually let go of the intellect. We can do this if we remember to let go of fear and know and have faith in God our Father. There are people who know a lot about God, but they don't know God. So we must stop worrying about what is or is not happening. Truth and consciousness reveals the reality of who we are and gives us the experiences so that we can see and we can feel and we can hear the God activity. We need to lift our eyes and look up, for the hour is come now. It is in our hands to take the action to spend time with our Father in the secret place of the Most High. Sometimes in our darkest hour, when we feel that we can do no more, we need to lift ourselves up, for we might hear the voice of an angel. Angels are the thoughts of God. It is in letting go of doing it our way that we open the door for God to express. This takes patience and lots of faith. It is a knowing in our hearts that we are a child of God in whom He is most pleased, that we can be standing still, we can be sitting still, abiding in the silence quietly and listening for the still small voice to lift our consciousness above the things of the world. The things of the world, whether we call them good or bad, when they become an end in themselves, they become a barrier for the spiritual or soul journey. In Divine Science, we call this spiritual unfoldment process. When human reasoning is the basis for our beliefs, we separate ourselves from Divine Spirit, God. We also will be unable to understand the inner revelations of truth. Unless our awareness of the whole of life is expanded, we are confined to the limitations of appearances. There was a time when there was a belief that the world was flat. The appearance seemed to indicate. Accepting this appearance as truth, mankind was confined to a small geographical area and stayed physically in one place. Mankind denied itself opportunities to explore, to share, and to experience the larger world beyond. When we work cooperatively with God, He leads us into all truth. Jesus the Wayshower reveals to us in the totality of His teaching that every problem we face, every lack or limitation, there is because we do not allow reality to come through. Our real work is to become aware of the omnipresence of God working through every detail of our lives. When we know our Father as perfect love and light and truth and realize we are poised in His life, we are cradled in His omnipresence. Our Father offers us spiritual freedom. As His creation, we were created in His image and likeness, and therefore possess a healing heredity that Christ within us. As the Christ expresses more and more through us, the personality becomes subject to the Christ. Our Father is our real reality. He expresses through us and as us. We are an individual expression of God, the one source. Now, Jesus knew that personal identification with God would bring the majesty and power of divinity into focus. We may be well versed in stating the spiritual laws of the universe. We may be able to affirm intellectually many great statements of truth. But if these segments of knowledge are not intrinsically bound to a personal relationship with our Father, they tend to remain a little more than intellectual exercises. Jesus was virtually interested in presenting truth which could be applied, and He realized that at the very heart of the matter lay His personal relationship with God. The application comes in the practice of the presence of God as our Father. Through experiencing God as our Father, we automatically expand and enrich our communion with all creation. The Apostle John embellished this teaching. He said that it is possible to love God, it is impossible to love God and yet hate one's brother. When we recognize and accept God as the one and only source, love, peace, and happiness, then we can truly say that the Father and I are one. The story of Christmas is our story. It is a story of every man, every woman, and every child in the world. God gave us his only begotten, the Christ, to dwell within our very being. It is the Christ that teaches us, strengthens us, shows us the power of God, his love, his peace, grace, and blessings, so that they can be expressed through us. In fact, that is one of the reasons for our being, to be an instrument so that God can be known out here in the world. The Christ is always with us. The Christ has always been with us. The Christ is our true higher self, waiting to be awakened to its birth in consciousness. Once the awakening occurs, then will we know with spiritual understanding that we are one with our Father, Divine Spirit. Christmas is a joyous time, for it reminds us that we are never alone, for the Christ is always with us. It is the light of the Christ which brings us hope. In this light, we receive guidance and direction, whether it is about a problem, a question, or answers in seeking a spiritual life. We will find that being still becomes a part of everyday living, for the uplift of our spirit brings pure joy and peace. We find it easier to be a parent, a spouse, a friend, a worker, a neighbor. When we abide in the silence, knowing that that is where the Christ is found, we want to return often to feel who our true self is and to be a vehicle for others to know and feel the divine presence with them always. God gave us the greatest present we could ever receive, the Christ, the indwelling identity of God himself. Now his work is finished. Now it is our turn to abide within, to know our true spiritual self, and to live a spiritual life. I want to end this lesson with a poem titled The Christmas Wish by Henry Victor Morgan. And it says, "What could I wish for you more, dear friend, upon this Christmas morn, than that within your heart each day the Christ of love is born, that you may walk with courage, strong through clouds, hide heaven's blue, and reach a hand to those less brave, their courage to renew, that wheresoever your footsteps lead, the flowers of hope may spring, and in the hour when flesh seems awake, hear God's strong angels sing, that you may be a light to all, one who God's light shines through, then all love's kingdom shall be yours. This is my wish for you." The Christ awakens our recognition by turning within, oh so quietly. This Christmas, as you celebrate, maintain a silence within yourself, knowing that the Christ is there, that you can almost hear the Father say, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom." And so it is. Will you please join me in making this lesson practical? If you feel comfortable, relax your bodies, close your eyes, and turn your focus totally within. Deep within, the Christ abides. It awaits your focus. It awaits your attention. When you turn within, quietly and silently, the Christ is ready to teach, to guide, to fill you. The Christ will show you joy and love and peace that you have never felt, you have never known, or maybe you knew for a fleeting moment. But in constant abiding with the Christ, you will know love and peace constantly, continuously. We turn to our Father, for we are so, so grateful for His love and for sending His Son, the Christ. The Christ is called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, we turn within to know the sacred power and understand our responsibilities to listen quietly and silently, and to apply the spiritual truth that we know. We want to serve you, we want to serve your children, and we want to do your will. Let us be still, let us be quiet, for we will know a joy that will almost make our hearts come out of our chests. Know that God is always with us. Know that Christmas is about abiding within, being still, accepting and recognizing that the Christ lives with us. It is the Christ that will help us in opening the door so that we may have a relationship with our Father God. Let us be still. Father, we are ever grateful for your loving presence, always with us, ready to respond. With our silence, we open the door so that you may express and the world will know you. For this, your spiritual understanding, we give you thanks and we say, Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and He gives you the Christ. Amen. Please stand.